11:03 Wednesday morning. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle. Albert Breer joining us now. He's brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. What?
Brought to you by that little Geico.
The little gecko?
I got both
gecko.
Here.
Love the gecko.
Gecko? Gordon Gecko?
The gecko.
You look like a Gordon Gecko type of guy. Like, he'd be your buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Carrying your little
appreciate that.
Suspended.
Nice sweatshirt, too.
You like that?
I think LS has got something for him. LS got something for him.
You want some more from, like, last year?
Hey, both my hometown and the town I live in now are still in the playoffs.
That's all right.
Duxbury and LS.
I told him, and I gave the greatest pregame speech, we may be pumping our gas one day, but you'll never forget the 3 hours when you got to go out there and kick their ass.
Rentham is a real coal mine town down there. It's a real steel town.
Kids went nuts. Don't let them talk down to you.
Don't come by our outlet mall.
Albert Breer is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free.
We're getting a CVS this year.
Free online banking and debit card, no minimum balance, and no monthly free, it says here. The intern, you are batting 1,000 today, intern. No monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today.
Well, what's free then?
At first, I didn't notice the sarcasm there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, based on your read, though, if I go to a bank, like, what are they going to give me for free?
Go to rfcu.com today to find a location near you.
What's free?
We're off to a flying start.
So far, it's been really good.
Yeah,
really good.
What'd you make of that Packers game, Bert?
You know, the one thing that stuck out to me, and so I don't know if this stuck out to you, but I thought like the creativity on both sides, right? Like, so the creativity for the Packers versus the Patriots was really what stuck out. And I think this is one of those appreciation of Bill games and appreciation of the coaching staff games, because, and you guys remember the first touchdown the Packers scored, they did get in on third down, but it looked so damn hard.
Like they
have first and goal at the one.
You're talking about
Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Incomplete pass on first down, incomplete pass on second down. You're not even trying to run it with Aaron Jones, who's averaging over 6 yards a carry. And then on third down, to get it in the end zone, Aaron Rodgers got to break the pocket and throw it across his body to Devon. Now, eventually they got it in because it was a great individual play by the quarterback, but it looked
Adams had to make a play too and shake Jonathan Jones, do a double move.
It looked so freaking hard for them to get in that situation. And then you turn around and you see Cordarrelle Patterson at tailback, and you see the double pass, and you see all these creative things.
They're getting ripped. Like, some people are ripping the Patriots for using trickery to beat the Pat. Why? What, your job
every
as,
team in the league, like,
your job is to,
you have to, you
create
have to,
deception.
You have to, like, you can't watch the NFL the same way you did 20 years ago. Like, that stuff is in everywhere now.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff...
You don't think
Sean
McVay does misdirection?
Look at the stuff Carolina's doing. Turner is 66 years old, the offensive coordinator.
That's a good point.
The stuff they're doing right now is, like, looks like it's coming from the Big 12. You know, like...
Where was Norv? Was Norv with the Vikings?
Yes.
That's where people thought he was dead.
Right.
Like, the football's passed him.
And then you know what happened? He took a year off.
Yep.
And he went, he looked at all this different stuff. And now all of a sudden he's got Cam Newton. So it's like, I have to do things a little bit different. I mean, look, like, the NFL, so much of the NFL now is about how adaptable you are. And we saw that on Sunday night, right? Like, okay, like, Sony Michel's hurt. What are we going to do? Are we going to go pick up somebody off the street? No, we've got Cordarrelle Patterson on our roster, and we think that he can give us something a little different at that position. It's just...
CPTD, by the way.
So much of it is being adaptable, you know, and so much of it's being able to stretch your roster different ways, and so much of it's being creative, too. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things, like, and I talk about Norv, I think Andy Reid's sort of in the same category, where these older coaches... If you don't adapt and change, because football's a big cat and mouse game at every level, right?
Sure.
Like, if you don't adapt and change, then you're dead. It almost doesn't matter who your players are. You know, you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to change to what's going on around you. And for better or worse, the Packers haven't been able to do that at a fast enough rate.
Yeah.
And now, like, they're looking at it where it's like, okay, you've got a first-year GM. And I think Mike McCarthy's a good coach who could go somewhere else and have, like, an Andy Reid, like, renaissance. I think right now Mike McCarthy is where Andy Reid was at the end in Philly. Like, in 2011 and 2012 in Philly, where it felt like everyone needed a change of scenery. It feels to me like that's sort of where Mike McCarthy is.
Seems like there's frustration with Rodgers, and I'm watching. I can't.
And there's definitely tension there between
the two. I can't put my finger on it, and I'm not going to do the victory lap like, oh, Brady's better than Rodgers. They're the two best. I still think they're the two best. I really love Rodgers. I like the way he plays. But I watch when he comes to the sideline. And there's something, I don't say it's off. I don't know if that's his distant personality. Like, he's different than Brady.
Meaning he's tough to get.
He's like, a blender. He's a weird dude to put your finger on. I watch him come to the sideline. I don't think he gets coached, if that makes any sense. Like, I think McCarthy understands him. He understands what plays we want. But Brady comes to the sideline, takes his helmet off, puts it on the heater, sits right down on the end. Josh sits down, two Microsoft things. Hoyer brings the cooler over, sits in front of him, and they just go and talk for 10 minutes.
And remember, they flipped his staff upside down, like, to some degree. Like so guys that he'd work with, Tom Clements is gone, Alex Van Pelt is gone. Like, guys that he trusted that had been there for a long time are gone. And he publicly said, like, he wasn't on board with a lot of the changes that were happening. He, like, publicly complained about it. It feels to me like now, again, it's like when Andy Reid got fired in Philly, no one thought he was a bad coach, right? Like, he's got this time management issues and all, but no one thought he was a bad coach. It was just, it felt like it had gotten stale there. And lo and behold, what happens? Well, the Eagles went through a little bit of a rough patch with Chip Kelly up and down, and now all of a sudden they're right again. And Andy Reid looks like one of the top five coaches in football. Both sides just needed a change. And it feels to me, watching the Packers, especially seeing them live on Sunday night, like, it just feels like they're there. They're where the Eagles were 6 years ago.
Do you think that the coaching has anything to do with their road record, which is much worse than their home record? When we were talking about the Packers and how they play on the road.
Bad road teams. We said the same thing about New England earlier in the year.
Zill's first thing that he said was, that's coaching. Is coaching the biggest factor when it comes to the teams
performing on the road?
Yes.
Yes, because I think that there's more...
It's an attention to detail you need more on the road than you do at home.
Right, and there's and there are more things. Like, I feel like on the road, and Zoe would know this better than I do. For me, it's from talking to people. For you, it's having been in these situations. But I think, like, the big thing is there's just more things that can make a team's plan come undone on the road than there are at home.
You get steamrolled.
There are more things. Like, there are more outside factors that can come into play on the road than there are at home. And so if you don't
like
have
being called for a delay a game on your first series.
Yeah, right. So,
like, or tying your shoe and being called for another delay a game.
if the whole operation you're running isn't tight, right?
Yes.
Because, like, if the whole operation isn't being run tight and everybody's not on the same page, like, there's a higher likelihood, I think, of that showing up
it's a little
on
bit,
the road
it's,
than there is than
It's
there
a little
home.
Bit of everything. It's understanding where the play clock is. Like, first thing you do when you go on the road in a stadium is you walk the field and you say, okay, what's it feel like here? Where's the highlights? Meaning, okay, if these lights are on, which is going to affect my vision?
Yeah.
I need, as a quarterback, I need to find out where the play clock is. So first thing, I'm looking down the end zone. You could have played somewhere last weekend where it's down the lower corner. This time it's directly up in the middle of the goalpost. So it could move in stadium to stadium. Same thing with coaches. So Mike McCarthy could be there looking at things on his play sheet, and he's peeking, and he's trained, like, okay, if you're at home at Green Bay, our play clock's here, and I understand this, and I got a good connection with this coach. The headsets could be different. Everything could change on the road.
Yep.
And then, okay, if I'm late getting a call in, now all of a sudden we back up, and it's opposed to us picking up a first down. Now we flip field position.
Yep.
Now we double down on how bad we are right now.
So, and now I'm going to give him credit too for the creativity and the playing calling and for the play calling. And again, it's not trickery. I mean, we're talking about a play or two every couple games.
People like used to talk about the option like it was a trick play. The option's not a trick
it's,
play.
Right.
Option,
the flea flicker isn't a trick play, really. I mean, it's been around for decades. I mean, it's just.
I mean, so much of football is misdirection.
Right.
And like, that's what the flea flicker is.
It's a play you use occasionally.
You run pick plays every play on offense in subsets to the outside. That is. Trickery where you're getting a block and you're scheming to get a block to get a guy free.
You mentioned McVay and the Rams, right?
Yes.
Like, one of the things that they did when he sat down and studied Jerry Goff, what he noticed was, like, in college, like, almost everything that they did was tied to the run. Like, the RPOs, all the different stuff he did at Cal. So he's like, I want to get him comfortable. So what I'm going to do, all of our pass plays, I'm going to attach run action to all of it. And it wasn't always straight play action. It was the jet sweep action. It was reverse action. Like, there was run action on every play because Goff felt more comfortable with that. And if you look at them now, that's why Gurley's so important to what they do, because the threat's real.
You got
to
bring somebody in the box, too.
Right,
and it opens up your passing game, and that's why you get fast guys outside.
And you have to respect Gurley, you know? And so much of it's like, you look at this stuff, and I think because it doesn't look like the NFL looked 25 years ago, a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's gimmicky and that's trickery. all of football's trickery.
Right.
football is like trying to make them to believe you're doing one thing when you're actually doing something else.
And I think if you lack something as a team in a certain spot, I think there's such the perception that if you have Brady and you have Rodgers, they can make up for that. And sometimes, not to say that's a detriment to them, but to your point about Goff, we're gonna do what makes him feel comfortable. If you're looking at something, McCarthy with a spreadsheet, Aaron can handle anything. Tom can handle anything.
And I think
full-field scans, meaning they could read it out. Goff might not be a full scan guy yet, where we got to cut. Testaverde was this way. Dan Henning told me that. Mm-hmm. Here's your problem. Everybody's ripping Vinny for throwing picks. You know why he's throwing picks? They're asking him to go first read here, second read, third, fourth. Yeah. And by the time Vinny gets his fourth, it's covered and it's a pick. We cut the field in half for Vinny.
I'll tell you what. Like McVay said this to me, and you know who said the same thing to me almost verbatim was Lincoln Riley. Like those two guys both said this to me. They said, the quarterback's job is the most difficult job in sports. So my job is to make his job as easy as I possibly can.
Which makes yours the most difficult job in sports.
Which makes the coach's job more difficult. But like the idea is to take some of the load off of the quarterback and put it on the coach. And I think that's what we're seeing with a lot of the stuff that's happening here. And it kind of takes me back to like Charlie in 2001. And he's sitting there with the play sheet in the sideline. And I think this is caught in NFL Films, right? And Charlie and Tom is going through like the play sheet with him, and it's like, I like this, I like this,
That was him and Drew on the side where Drew, he's going in.
Oh, it was Drew and Tommy.
Let's go through.
What do you like? What do you like? Like, and that's, I mean, like, that's
coaching.
I like
sticks.
That's coaching, right? Like, that's coaching.
All right, so we're going to talk more about that. I want to ask you about a couple of plays that the Patriots did run. If we're going to give them credit for their play calling, there are a couple of plays that I think all of us were left scratching our heads when we were watching it. And we're going to talk about Bruce Irvin, so a lot more to get to with.
Bruce, Bryce?
What?
Bryce Irvin?
No.
It's triplets. It's Bryce, Rico, and Bruce. I love autocorrect. And I love Twitter police that rip you for misspelling a man's name because your phone automatically corrected it.
It was Curran. Curran was the chief of police.
Of course he is. I'm chief of police on him.
I was his deputy.
And his dumb dog, Bo.
Yeah, the canine unit.
We get confused on our own. We don't need you to head to the confusion, Bert. More with Bert Breer coming up.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom surveys the defense. Packers rush fours. Brady takes the snap and drops back. Time to stand. Throw left. Incomplete. And eventually, Brady and the pocket collapse. Trent Brown, the left tackle, lost his balance as well. The Pats will have to kick as Gostkowski comes off the far side.
You shot yourself in the foot there playing around. After you hit a big play down the field, Adelman. You're more worried about saying, sorry, I almost didn't get it to you on the pitch. You get up there, you quick snap at the white. It kind of blew that up. And then you had the Edelman coming out of the backfield. But this is what you got to do when you're going to have your tight end. Everybody's got to play multiple positions. And I'll blame this on Edelman.
So I want to know, Bert. Back-to-back plays, third and fourth down on the goal line. You try pass plays. Is that just a hiccup in play calling, or is that indicative of not having a goal line back?
Go ahead. It's personnel, it is. Because if that's Sony Michel, if that's James White at the back position to Brady's left, and that's where the blitz comes from, you've got a free blitzer coming in your face, what you do as the back is you got to scream, hot, hot, hot now, and Brady turns and pops it to him right away. Edelman is not up to speed with blitz look from the backfield. He could get up in the slot and see when the safety's coming. He's pointing, now I'm going to break my route. But coming out of the backfield, Brady threw that as a hot route. Edelman was still going upfield. He would have walked in.
Yeah.
There was nobody out there. So they brought the double blitz backside. But that's part of what we're talking about when you got the tight end out, you got the back out. You've got to be creative with other things and call it trick plays if you want. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the night they had answers for all the problems that are inherent to not having Sony Michel and to not having Rob Gronkowski, and that was probably one spot where they didn't have an answer. But it's obviously, I think there's no question that the problems that you have not having those two guys, they're pronounced when you're on the goal line because that's a huge area where those guys come into play.
You hearing any rumblings in the league about the tight end at all from other people?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard pretty consistently that, look, other teams believe he's either hurt or he's declining. And I think we can see it. Like, in that Buffalo game, there was one play near the goal line. He's probably right around the five. And Brady put it out there. God, Sarge is Oakleys are distracting me now.
Those look good.
They look good, don't they?
Imagine those if you had like a nice new pair of something else to wear while you're
so much better.
Those are Sarge, would you take the sunglasses off, please?
If they turn the lights off.
You're distracting our guest.
No, he's not. I think you look good.
He's distracted.
It's from like those look like sunglasses from like those 96 Olympics commercials.
They're a little
You ever seen that movie Black Rain with Michael Douglas? And they're riding the motorcycles and they got the little glasses on.
That's why I'm a good poker player.
Anyway.
Time is it? Oh my God!
It's just really hard. It's really hard to look over there.
I'll turn them off.
See his America shirt that has freaking Sarge emblazoned on the sleeve of the Oakleys.
Those compliments of a
love that flag
a tournament there. Yeah, that's a Sarge and Chesna tournament.
So you said people believe that Gronkowski is either hurt or in decline. Are we going to become the Gronk in decline show?
No.
Zoe, are you going to sit here and allow that?
No, he's hurt.
You think Gronkowski's in decline?
No, he's hurt.
What do you think he is? Do you think he's hurt or he's in decline, Bert?
I think he's hurt. And I think it's hard to predict whether or not he's going to be able to pull off what he pulled off last year, which is there were points in September and October when he looked like this, when he looked lumbering, at times a little clumsy. I mentioned the play down near the goal line. It was probably around the 5-yard line where he's going out, and if you're looking from the Patriots' side, it'd be the right sideline. And he just lost his feet. He just started stumbling, and he looked clumsy on the play. And you don't see him look clumsy over the course of his career, see him look clumsy very often, as big as he is. And he sort of did on that play. And that was one that to me illustrated how he's looked over the last month or so. And I just tell you this. I remember when the Chiefs were coming in here, somebody there said to me, "We really feel like he can't run anymore, and we're going to see tonight." And I think that was right on the front end of teams starting to, like, now Detroit, you remember they covered him like he was.
So that was before the game they said that?
Yeah, they were covering him. Detroit was covering him like he was a gunner. Like they were putting two guys over top of him, and he's not going to beat us. And that was a good plan by Patricia based on what the Patriots were rolling out there at the time, because they really didn't have much else, right? I think now what you're seeing more often is teams are willing to put one guy on him and say, if he's going to make the circus catch, fine. Like, if he's going to go over the top of somebody and do something crazy, we can live with that. What we don't think he can do, we don't think he can beat our man one-on-one anymore. And unfortunately for Gronk, I mean, how often do you see him running free, Zoe? Like, how often do you see
him? We haven't seen it yet.
Like he's not separating. And so that to me is the number one tell is every ball you throw to him. I mean, look, you can just see on the pictures up there, everybody who's watching on TV.
They're hanging all over him.
There are guys right there on every play. Right?
I think what wears on him too is the constant resetting, meaning, okay, I put my hand down, I get up, I reset to the other side, or they take me out, they flex me, they put me in motion. And on those plays where he's the decoy, he doesn't get the ball, I think it's deflating to him. No pun intended.
And sometimes, we always talk about his double coverage, triple coverage. Sometimes in single coverage, he's not separating either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, is that over the last month, what I think we've seen is teams are.
Did you just say that? I'm sorry.
Teams are paying. No. I got you. teams are paying. Teams are devoting fewer resources to him now, and they're getting away with it.
Wouldn't it be great if later, like you said, you get to the year where Pittsburgh's like, we're only going to single cover him because they haven't won, and that's where he gets the 11 grabs.
Which would be great.
Which would serve two purposes.
Would help you in
that
game.
And then
it would force teams to go back to the double coverage options when it comes to covering him in subsequent in the following games. But right now, due to injury, if you believe that, or just a declining skill set, as Bert said, some other people around the country believe, that's not always the case. Teams don't feel he's worthy of those extra resources right now.
When a team says, let's just... You got to understand the way NFL teams talk about players, too. So there's like kind of a different language out there that they speak. When they say, oh, he can't run, it doesn't mean he can't run. It means like he can't run like we'd expect an NFL tight end to run. Or if it's a better receiver, he can't run the way we'd expect an NFL receiver to run anymore. That's what they mean by that, is that he doesn't run the way a player at that position should run anymore.
All right, let's go to Rob in the recliner. Oh, it's like Mark Cimelli's dad. Joining us now is Zolak and Bertrand.
Hi, Rob.
Sup, Zo?
What's up?
15 years in the car wash business. What you want is the wheel brake and the hand-applied tire shine.
Oh, nice.
Everything I know that. Yep.
BS.
I'm looking for a locale that would provide that.
Yeah, I'm not on your route.
Okay.
All right.
But, those are the best. Absolutely. You find the best ones like that down in Florida?
I like the place where they really they take care inside and out, and it's just like really you just like Brighton, the Brighton car wash.
We do that as well, but
no names.
Oh, I can't name anybody.
Yeah, what Zoe is really looking for is a free car wash.
No, so no, I pay the monthly.
Zoe, if you want to come into North Andover, I'll hook you up.
That's a long drive for me, but I mean, I would pay more in gas to get there than
just the other end of the state.
No, you can go across the street. I heard Belichick checks out Joe Fish across the street. Great.
Yep. Okay.
Thanks. Did you have any? Well, he said he wanted to talk about the Patriots additions. Do you have anything on the?
Yes, I did. But Hardy, do you know where the Pats are playing this weekend?
Yes, I do.
In Nash?
Oh, yes, they're playing in Nash.
Yes, in Nashville is Nash. Yes. Okay.
All right.
That's it. Thank you. He never got to what he said he was going to talk about.
Is Dilly called yet from Quincy? Hi, Dilly. It's me, Dilly.
Is Bobby Orr still there? No, he's been gone for 2 days.
Bobby Orr got cut off. Really?
John in Atlantic City. Go ahead. John, are you talking about Brad Stevens here?
No. Actually, I wanted to call about the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Okay, good.
Oh,
go ahead.
What do you got?
All right, well, real quick for my Brady point was just, Hardy, love the show. I think one day you'll have your own show. And Sarge.
I knew it. This guy calls touch. What's up, John? How you doing, pal?
I did you a solid, Sarge.
Good
I just
boy.
Cut him
call
off.
Back, yeah. John. Call back.
No, that's one of the. That's the guy. That's a creepy guy that lives in his mom's basement. Can't you tell?
No, I can't.
He's
tell
got that.
That
creepy
I thought
voice.
I saw.
I thought you live with your mother.
No, that's the dude in Vegas. That's John in Vegas.
I think it was Touch and Rich. Yeah. Tweeted out.
He called Amy Lawrence.
Amy Lawrence.
He called Amy Lawrence.
This guy.
Amy Lawrence is getting Sarge.
More John. More. That's John in Atlantic City, and then he says he's in Vegas. Where's he going to be next? New York?
Sarge
is in your head.
Full of
Sarge, you should be proud. Like
I love it, man.
Now, like,
but that's him.
Embrace it.
I love it.
Shows that aren't a part of this station.
Damn right, baby.
Are getting Sarge calls.
You're damn right.
The Sarge calls are branching out. They're branching out beyond just the 98.5 show.
Right. I'm a big fan of the Sarge's human garbage calls. I think they're funny.
Yeah.
But Sarge blew up his day to come in here and fill in because Beetle is sick, and he doesn't deserve that today.
And if you want to continue to break Sarge's ball, 617-779-0985, we do welcome those calls also.
Well, I'm putting my shades back on. So.
Yeah, put them back on. Get that headline ready. Yeah. Go.
Is it Dan Knows Dan? Was that what it was? The Olympic commercials from like 92 or 96.
Oh.
Where the guy, they did two
the
guys.
The two Dans.
The two Dans, yeah. Like that's, for some reason, that's what I think of when I look at Sarge in those shades.
That campaign got blown up when only one of them made the Olympics.
Like one of them didn't qualify,
yeah,
right?
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Hopefully he was as good looking as me.
Debatable.
You know what? Now I'm not cutting the collars off anymore.
That's fine.
It's stuff like that. It's now you deserve it.
You got to ride the hot hand, baby.
David Andrews will be joining us at some point. Burt Breer is here with us now. Sarge with the headlines.
And the Oakley.
Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots back in the practice field today ahead of Sunday's game at Tennessee against the Titans. And the Pats could have Sony Michel back on the field Sunday. That according to ESPN after he sat out the last couple of games. He'll have a full week of practice starting today. Former Raiders defensive end Bruce Irvin signing on with the Atlanta Falcons. He was cut by Oakland yesterday, and the Patriots and Steelers reportedly offered Irvin the most amount of money, but he wanted to return to his hometown of Atlanta. Celtics' Kyrie Irving fined $25,000 for throwing a ball into the crowd by the NBA after they lost in Denver on Monday. Celtics continue their road trip tomorrow night against the Suns, and the Bruins back to work on Thursday, tomorrow night, at the TD Garden when they take on the Vancouver Canucks.
Going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Bert Breer is with us. David Andrews is going to join us at some point, center for your New England Patriots.
Sneaky, dirty.
Oh, I don't know how sneaky he is.
He's got that wacko gene, and I dig it.
I like David Andrews a lot. So we'll be talking with him coming up. We're going to get back to your phones here.
Breathe in, breathe out.
People love talking to Bert. It's great. I like it. You should feel good about that.
You know what's really cool is those Periscope one things he does.
You love those, don't you?
Burnt in a closet.
I crack the beer, you like that?
When the lighting's off and you got that Michael Myers look on your face. It's just
phenomenal. I do the Tuesday ones, which are actually produced. They have lights on me and stuff.
Oh, they do?
In New York. But then on Thursday night, I do the halftime Periscope. That's the one where I'm just holding the phone.
That's one where you're holding the phone, everything's shaking.
Yeah. You might get motion sickness, but you'll get a lot of answers in a short amount of time, which is the idea.
I love logging on and messing with people if I have some time.
Fantastic.
To do
that. Yep, absolutely.
Let's go to Lee and Quincy. Lee, hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the shout out a couple weeks ago for the women callers. I appreciate it.
Well, you broke the seal there. You're one of our first.
Yeah. I'm happy to do it. I have a thought on Gronk. It would not surprise me if he was done at the end of this year. I do think his back is hurt, and I think it's kind of mentally throwing him off, especially since he's changed his whole training regimen, and it was like he thought he found just the right fit for him, like the TB12 method with the bands, and he kept saying how great he felt, never felt better, and now the back's bothering him again, and that's enough to throw you completely off. You're like, there's nothing I can do. Anything I try to do, anything I switch up, I think I feel better, and it just keeps coming back, so... It doesn't surprise me that he sounded so depressed in that press conference, and it also wouldn't surprise me if he retired at the end of this year.
Oh, well, that's a bit of a bold prediction.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
But the press conference was a little bit weird.
I'm with Lee on this one. Like, I would not be surprised if we're right back where we were in February, and he's talking about retirement again. Because I just think that door opens for players. It doesn't close. Mm-hmm. Like, you very rarely hear a guy like musing about retirement and then you don't hear about retirement again for 4 years. I mean, you remember that song in Dance with Brett Favre? And it's every freaking year for like 6 years in a row. I think we're going to be right back there again. Whenever the season ends, whether it's in January or February, I think we're going to be talking about Gronk and the potential of retirement again. And I think that there's a good chance that maybe he leaves them hanging again, like where it's, okay, it's February, now it's March, and, you know, you get to the start of the off-season program, and you're wondering if he's coming back. I just think he's year-to-year as a football player.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, he put himself in that, you know, with all the speculation last year.
Right.
And I think part of the press conference thing from last week is he doesn't want to play the game, meaning stand up there in front of you, and I'm going to pretend something's not bugging me, answer questions, and do the Brady-type thing. I think he needs to be 100 miles an hour or else he's not him.
Yeah.
And it's not him. And I don't blame him for, okay, I'm done, guys. I'm not going to sit here and play this game with you like I'm fine, I'm not. It's not in my head, blah, blah, blah. Because there's something that's probably bugging me that they're not really saying is bugging me. And I know I'm listed as ankle and back. You know?
I got to interrupt this for one second. Ian Rappaport. Telling us the Saints are signing Dez Bryant to a 1-year deal.
There it is. He's back.
So wow.
Not quite breaking news, but still.
Oh, that's breaking news, buddy.
All right. Well, give us the breaking news. You know, I do it, Tom.
Do it.
Yeah. We'll do the breaking news anyway.
That's big time breaking news.
Yep. Jimmy Stewart concurs.
Yes.
This is breaking news.
We've been talking about him for a year. Let's go.
Yeah.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sarge, you have any breaking news for us?
Yeah, well, the 7-1 New Orleans Saints coming off a big win Sunday over the Rams have signed Dez Bryant to a 1-year deal. According to NFL Network. Dez Bryant, who dat? Who dat? He's going to the Saints.
Meatloaf's coming to the basement for you, pal.
Oh, that's so stupid.
I told you, embrace it.
That's right, bro.
Tom, do you still call Sarge Shakes?
I said you're calling him Shakes for a while.
Yeah, do you still call him Shakes?
Yeah. You know that story?
That nickname fell by the wayside. Yeah,
Shakes works. I like it.
Yeah, we'll explain it later. Okay, so.
I tweeted this during watching that Saints-Rams game, Bert, and I said, what we're witnessing here is, and people may have not realized this, but Sean Payton may have himself a wagon here.
Oh, yeah.
The receivers are strong. The backs are good. The defense is stingy. I just think that
I will say this. I said this before the Rams.
People
game
thought
too.
Peyton was done too. Remember
that is the most complete roster in the NFL.
Wow,
it is the roster where when you look at it, almost any other roster in the NFL, you can look at a position or two and you can say, eh. With the Saints, I don't think there's a position on their roster where you say that, like. the biggest weakness they had was the second corner. They go out and trade for a guy who was the 10th pick in the draft 2 years ago. So now they're solid in the secondary. They're solid at safety. They've got young linebackers in addition to a couple of veterans at that position.
It's almost as though they know they have an aging quarterback who's not going to be playing much longer, and they're surrounding him with as much talent as they can. What a fascinating idea.
You want to know what happened with the draft picks, right? Like, so look at this. Their first-round pick for last year, for this year, was traded away in the deal to move up and get Marcus Davenport in April. Their third-round pick was traded for Teddy Bridgewater. Their fourth-round pick was traded for Eli Apple. They have one pick in the first four rounds next April. This is about, I mean, again,
it's about the Breeze window. We talk about a Brady window. There's a Breeze window.
They don't know. Like, they don't know how much longer he's going to play. And so it's like, and that draft class they had last year created like a window for them,
right,
too. Like, It's like you have all these guys, Marshawn Lattimore, Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, and Marcus Williams, all on rookie deals. And so there's like this window here for them.
And look, I say that with, you know, a little bit of sideways glance toward the Patriots, but really in terms of what they've done with putting talent around Tom Brady this year, it's not necessarily anyone's fault that Rob Gronkowski isn't quite feeling it yet, you know? And I don't think it's their fault that Sony Michel got injured and he's been missing some time.
Although you could argue that in both those cases you had to be prepared for that because both those guys had history.
But there's, you know, 7-2.
Right.
You know, right. I there are always a couple of things you wish they would have done differently. I think taking a look at Dez Bryant would not have hurt the Patriots, and I'm sure they looked at him without bringing him in. You know, of course they made a decision not to bring him in based on something. It wasn't in a vacuum. But don't.
Do you want to put him in the same position group room as Josh Gordon?
If you're going to bring Josh Gordon in, why not? What's the problem with doing that?
I think they made a decision a long time ago that Dez wasn't the right fit for them.
I agree with that.
I think it's more of a football.
Would he been worth a look?
Burton, I don't think it's about money. I think it's about
football.
I don't think he's, you know, we talked about
He's not a great route runner.
He doesn't fit our route tree runner system.
He's never been the most studious guy. He's somebody who's like got very good football instincts, is great between the lines, but doesn't do the stuff outside as well. And he's also a guy where you're projecting him a little bit. We talk about Gronk. Like, I think one of the problems Gronk is going through right now is he's sort of Gronk's like part of. I think part of the psychology of Gronk right now is when you've got an athlete like that who's been able to physically dominate everybody for most of his life. When that starts to leave him, that's a really difficult thing. That's a really, really hard thing to deal with. And I think that's part of the psychology of Dez too over the last couple of years, and why he's sort of gone off the reservation, you know, is because that ability to physically dominate whoever he wanted in whatever manner he wanted to was gone. And so I think what Sean Payton's betting on now is that he's going to be humbled.
Jane Slater is reporting that Dez will wear number 88 in New Orleans and report to the facility on Thursday after spending today in Dallas with his son on his birthday.
# throw up the X.
There you go. Birthday. All right, we'll step aside and get more of your calls in for Burt Breer. One open line at 617-779-0985.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Will score a $50 Dairy Queen gift card. DQ, fan food, not fast food. Caller 10, Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beetle, Albert Breer is here with us. So, talking about the Saints, their acquisition of Dez Bryant, It's going to lead us into another conversation that we started having yesterday. I guess in terms of the top teams in the league right now, I guess we can kind of flip it though and go NFC. I mean, more so than the Saints emerging as you called them, Bert, the most complete roster in the NFC right now. What's that?
Real quick, too, and that's like that. This signing is post-Rams win where you're looking at it, you're coming in 2 days after it and saying, okay, we got them in the head-to-head. Let's make sure we secure home field throughout. That helps it.
Here's what I like about it, too. It's like the same thing as bringing Teddy in. Like, when they brought Teddy Bridgewater in, it had nothing. It wasn't that he's going to be their quarterback of the future. I mean, maybe it works out. We'll see. But he's only under contract for the rest of the year. It was, we think we're in a championship window. And if, say Drew was to go down for a month, we don't want that to kill our chances of competing for a championship. And the Dez sign to me is sort of the same thing.
We got Hoyer.
They've got probably the best receiver in the league right now in Michael Thomas, right? Probably the number one receiver in the league. They got a talented young guy in Tre'Quan Smith. And then Ted Ginn, who they'd been relying on, is now on injured reserve. And so they needed another layer of depth where this is what you do when you're making a run at a championship, is you build depth in. So it's like, look, if someone gets hurt, we're going to be okay. Like, our one position group isn't going to fall off the face of the earth if we have one guy go down.
All right. Let's grab some calls here, too. Specifically about Dez Bryant and anything else you want to talk to Bert about, 617-931-0985. We'll go to Mac in South Boston. Mac, what do you got for us?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
What's up?
Trent Brown, what do you think about him? Big question coming in the year was Nate Solder. He seemed to be holding up pretty well.
They won that one, man.
I tell you what, I was there are two things that I can say I was wrong about over the last 15 months.
Only two.
I was scratching my head on that one, too. You got Garoppolo, and I'm like, why did they get rid of this guy if you just signed Garoppolo if he's the backside?
That's a good track record if you're only wrong twice in the last year and a half. That's good for you.
There are two ones that are glaring. Let's just put it that way, okay? Like, I can probably shovel the other ones under the rug. I don't think anyone will notice if I do that.
Right.
The two that I'll admit I got wrong is Malcolm Butler over Stephon Gilmore. I mean, look, I still think he should have played in the Super Bowl. Like, I still think there's just, to me, there's not justifiable.
Oh, he deserved a series.
Like, he should have played at some point.
A series?
In the Super Bowl.
No, I'm just saying, we got to start somewhere. It's not just don't play him. Right. You know what I mean?
And I do think that there's an element that the Patriots screwed up there, not knowing the psychology of their own player and how he was going to react to Stephon getting the money that he got and how it was going to affect Butler, because it absolutely affected him last year.
Oh, right? I think they understood it. I think they just didn't care.
Right. But the fact of the matter is they paid the right guy, right?
So you got that one wrong. Okay.
And I got that one wrong, and I thought they absolutely left themselves exposed at left tackle by letting Nate Solder go. And how hard it is to find players at any offensive line position now, because there aren't enough good ones, and we've seen teams across the league where, I mean, the Vikings are a team that's very good everywhere else, and their offensive line could wind up ruining this season where they're in a window to compete for a championship. So there are other teams in the league that there just aren't enough good offensive linemen to go around, which is why Solder got overpaid, why Andrew Norwell got overpaid in Jacksonville, why Ryan Jensen got overpaid in Tampa.
Hey, Mr. Norwell, hope you find your dad.
Now, do you think you're wrong on Malcolm Butler because of the way Stephon Gilmore's played, or because of the way that Butler has played in Tennessee? Or is it both?
I think it's because I didn't think Gilmore was a fit here. Like, for the first month, like, I said that on radio. I said that on TV. I talked with Bills players who told me, like, we were stunned when New England paid him like that. Players in the Buffalo roster didn't think he was a good fit for New England. So I was sort of going on the stuff that I'd heard and then matching it up with what we were watching, which, I mean, that Carolina game was a disaster for him. And it didn't look like he could do anything but play man. And he's become a very good player. Like, I would say probably one of the top five or six corners in the league. And Malcolm Butler, it's less about the way Malcolm Butler
did you see the touchdowns?
But he looked terrible the other night. And he's had his ups and downs. Like, so there
I haven't seen him like that. That's the worst I've ever seen him.
I mean, there have been a couple games where he hasn't looked very good. So that one I absolutely got wrong, and that was because I wasn't patient enough.
You know what's scary for him? It's like deathly quiet on him down in Foxborough this week, which means
they know.
You know what that means,
right? And so
they're going after him.
And then with Solder, I mean, look, Trent Brown was absolutely positively a find, and
he's been better. He's been better than even better. If that makes sense.
And if I'm Trent Brown, you know what I'm doing. I am not signing a contract. I am going to free agency.
Have you seen him move his feet out on screens and stuff? Like, yeah. Just I'm talking 10 yards downfield for a man of his size.
He's freakishly athletic, and like the Patriots were. This is where the Patriots are really smart in like capitalizing on inefficiencies from other teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Trent Brown showed up. Now I was told Trent Brown showed up at about 400 pounds to the 49ers offseason program, and they basically decided, you know what? We really got to take care of the position long term. This guy's in a contract year. Right now, we're not going to re-sign him based on the way he's showing up, the type of shape he's showing up here in April. And so they started to lock in on the tackles in the draft. And so they've got Joe Staley, who's getting older, but has been a very good left tackle for him for a long time. And it's like, okay, like if we can get Mike McGlinchey, then we can see what we can go and get for Trent Brown. And so the Patriots saw that and saw an opportunity there, a talented player who's, you know, you can buy low on because, again, the Niners had gone in on this on a tackle in the top 10, Mike McGlinchey. So they found that inefficiency, and they're like, he's in a tough spot there. He's in a contract year. They're sort of done developing him. This isn't the group that drafted him, so they're not attached to him. And so they found that inefficiency with a player they like. And those don't always work out to this degree. But I think it's a good example of the way the Patriots think about these things. The way Nick Caserio has been trained to evaluate these things, I think it's a good example of all of that at work. Finding a player who I think is much better than they didn't think he was.
The problem, I didn't either. And I just the problem with Solder is when you get up under his pad level, you could get him off balance, meaning leaning back on his heels.
Yeah.
Now you watch Trent Brown. Have you ever seen a position of his ass when you take? You know, I'm serious. Mm. It doesn't roll forward to where when you pronate, you roll forward and you get top heavy and you fall back and it's like you're on roller skates. I have yet to see anybody get Trent Brown off balance backwards, meaning to where you have low center of gravity, everything's down and his feet are square and he doesn't. You'll see guys get called for holding penalties where they get beat and they dive and they end up trying to hogtie a guy around the neck. And it has not happened yet with him at all. And he's played some damn good edge guys this entire year.
One of the keys to me, like you always want to ask like the question when you're making a trade in the NFL, why is the guy available? Right? Like that's always got to be like for every team.
I said
that has to be the number
Garoppolo
one.
And like, you made him available.
That's why the Eagles, like the Eagles went and got Golden Tate. The reason they went and got Golden Tate was they really valued the player. They're having trouble on third down and he's a guy who can help them there. And the reason Golden Tate was available was because the Lions were offering him these big deals and they'd been talking for August, September, October. I mean, they were offering him big money and he didn't like the structure of it. And the reason he was available was because he turned down contract offers. It wasn't because he wasn't a good guy. It wasn't because he wasn't working hard. It wasn't because he was off the reservation. It was because he hadn't accepted their contract offers. And so the Eagles knew that and they said, well, we know why he's available. And it's not like it's like a bad reason why he's available. He just wants to get paid. So makes sense for us to bring him in. Same thing with Trent Brown. He showed up out of shape in April, and the Niners had an opportunity to draft a tackle in the top 10 that they really valued, and they couldn't count on Trent Brown being their left tackle of the future. And so the Patriots could come in and buy low on him and say, okay, here's a talented guy, and we'll see what happens. And it's evaluating why these guys are available in the first place.
Sure.
And they figured the guy came in out of shape in April. And I mean, it's going to be a wake up call being traded and he's going to come in here and we're going to like, let's bet that this guy is going to want to get paid and this guy's going to be motivated to come out and do his very best.
It all worked out. It doesn't always, but it did.
When's Thanksgiving? November 29th.
And we said the Butler, like
22nd.
It's in 22nd. November. It's on a Thursday. Pretty sure of that.
No, I know that. Okay. So I didn't know which one it was, but New Orleans is at Dallas that day, Thursday night football.
No.
It's a week after
29th.
Week after Thanksgiving.
I asked, but I was asking if that was Thanksgiving night. I didn't know if it was one of those games.
But it's not.
Thanksgiving's super early this year.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Sarge with those Oakleys again.
We're gonna get your calls.
Those aren't the fake Oakleys, are they? Are they Folkleys?
By the way, check out.
You get like a character out of Top Gun.
You get Folkleys. Like you get Folkleys on like Canal Street, New York.
Check out Kyle Van Noy's tweet.
Like $15.
Take a look.
Huh?
Kyle Van Noy's tweet.
Okay.
Take a look. We have a chance. Check it out at the break.
Why don't you just say what it
is? Why don't you just say what it is?
All right. Well, Touch and Rich put something out earlier today. A Sports Hub staff member most likely to get their ass kicked by a local athlete. Van Noy puts all the eyes out there. Like, he's the one that's going to kick their ass.
I see.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Patriots player chiming in there.
All right. We'll get to your calls on Dez Bryant, Aaron Rodgers, Malcolm Butler, all of it. Burt Breer continues his visit with us after Sarge, and it's 90-second Hub Headlines.